This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Figgy has hit him big time.
Guess what?
Day it is.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Pump day.
3 weeks and a penny. 3 weeks and a penny. 22 days to be exact until the Texans open the season against the Kansas City Chiefs. Training camp going on right now. A lot of questions that need to be asked. We are coming off what I consider to be the best Tuesday ever, and my gosh, did it go well. Astros, six straight, second straight walk-off, walk it off. Zach Greinke, eight innings, scoreless. Check. Rockets versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. What a dog-butted basketball team. The Oklahoma City Thunder are. Rockets, run them out the gym. Check. Now, looking at the Houston Texans.
We're looking at you.
The eve of doing it again, John Lopez. I hope you're ready. I hope you get a good night's sleep tonight, because tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock, we're going to have another Astros game. And right at the same time, it is a 2-TV Thursday, Rockets and Astros at the same time. Will the day be perfect once again? It's going to be stacked. And, oh, by the way, we will be exactly 3 weeks away from the start of the Texans season. It's been a long time of coming, John. It's been a rough year for many people. But sports are here, and yesterday could not have gone better. How the are you doing, sir?
You know what's weird about yesterday? So I'm watching, obviously, you start out with the Astros. That was just a really good game. We'll get to Zach Greinke and what he has become. But so I'm watching these games, and for the first time since we have kicked sports back off, I wasn't even really thinking of it in terms of the pandemic and a different feel. I was just watching the games.
And felt good.
Yeah, I was just like any, like there could have been, you know, 30,000 people in the stands, could have been 18,000 people in the stands or 16 or whatever it holds over at Toyota Center for the Rockets game. I didn't even care. The production has been improved. So I'm just sitting there watching these games, and it was just all about the games. And isn't that a sign of like progress, so to speak?
Yes.
And at least you feel some semblance of normalcy.
Preach.
And it's just about what's going on the field and the court.
I mean, yesterday was a good day regardless.
Yeah.
But it's a great day when you get to eat two W's. I was sitting on a patio, man. Socially distanced.
You hit that tequila?
I drank a few regular margaritas.
Mm-hmm.
I drank a couple tropical margaritas.
Rocks, I hope.
And I got a couple Tiger Blood margaritas. They made me some Tiger Blood margaritas.
Tiger Blood margaritas.
Handcrafted. Tasted like a snow cone.
Really?
Tasted like a snow cone.
What's in a Tiger Blood margarita?
I didn't ask. It just tastes like a snow cone.
Okay.
That's just vodka and cranberry, right?
Figgy, you would have known if you wouldn't stood me up yesterday, so I don't know.
I understand you. I showed up. You was gone.
What?
You
when
was
did
gone.
You show up?
I did.
I told
I was
Figgy,
a little late.
I said, Figgy, come on through. He said, I'm on my way. It was 3:30. He hits me up at 6 and asks where I'm at. It's right next door to my place. Why don't you just come over and hang then?
I was at the place. I walked in. And I'm like, dang, he must have left.
Yeah.
So I texted.
Landry stiffed you, Figgy.
Okay.
Landry
left a little early. Yeah. That's why he's staying for the Rockets.
You should have told me you were coming. And hey, I'll be there. I'll be there again tomorrow.
All right.
Lead
at. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow.
There we go, Figgy. Get on that Tiger Blood. Get on that. I don't know. Tomorrow's actually just all day happy hour. So it's not Tequila Tuesday, but it's all day happy hour tomorrow.
Ooh, me.
Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. We got to give someone some props that doesn't get enough attention. We'll do that in just a sec. But before we do, happy anniversary, John. Happy anniversary.
Fiji.
Happy
Wait
anniversary to all the Loopholes.
Did I forget to buy flowers?
Nope.
Not my work anniversary.
Nope.
What is it?
It is the one-year anniversary of the Bill O'Brien Matt Khalil blow up. Here we go. Happy anniversary to everybody. We go back in time exactly a year ago today.
Oh boy.
Matt Khalil, is he injured or not, coach?
Is Matt Khalil hurt?
Is he hurt?
Yeah.
I don't have to release an injury report until the season starts. And every time I come up here, I get asked about 50 questions about injuries. So you'll get an injury report when the season starts. Right now, I'll tell you that he's out of practice per the head coach's discretion. How's that for an answer? Good?
Do you expect him to start for you week one?
Yes, I do.
And the reason that I wish John Lopez the happy anniversary is because that was the moment where the John Lopez notion from last training camp that Bill O'Brien was a changed guy and he was happy and giddy, that was where it was eliminated. Forever,
it was
we thought.
Nuked. It was nuked.
Until it reemerged yesterday, and John Lopez doubled down and said, Bill O'Brien seems more cheerful and more jovial this year. Are you going to double down on what you said yesterday?
I didn't double down on that he's kinder and gentler.
Yes, you did.
I did not. Let me be very, very clear here, because Bill O'Brien snapped a year ago today. Happy anniversary, B.O.B. We appreciate it. And I realized, okay, everything I saw earlier in camp where he was kind of delegating more and laying back a little more was all a lie, Landry. It was all just a big lie. That's when I realized it a year ago today. Yesterday, I made very clear Bill O'Brien is still going to show that side. He's still going to pop off. He's still going to be something of a prick if the mood strikes him. But I feel as if he's just altogether in a happier place, that can be true. Like, your personality may still be want to go to that realm, so to speak, but you're just kind of overall in a happier place.
I'm blah 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 blah. Bill O'Brien's happy again is all I heard.
That's
there.
Not what I
the
said.
The Peanuts teacher. That's all I heard.
He'll never be kinder and gentler.
That's all I heard there. So we're celebrating an anniversary. We're going to look at the position battles. Training camp going on right now. Players getting rehab. We're going to go to the bubble. Sean Pendergast is out there getting his COVID test. So we're celebrating anniversaries. I also want to celebrate someone who doesn't get celebrated enough. And I think in a world of fake hustle, in a world of fake hardos, I think that Zach Greinke does not get the credit he deserves for having the Sam Cassell big balls that he has.
Yeah.
The great athletes, they step up whenever they need to. And a lot of the times those athletes will kind of pat themselves on the back and it'll be a self-serving, we got to step it up. I got to do this. They don't necessarily let their actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. It's rare that someone's actions speak louder than their words. But Zach Greinke, who had a terrible, and I mean terrible, first start for the Houston Astros, 3 1/3 innings, 3 runs on 4 hits, was how he started off the season. That same day, the news broke that Justin Verlander was going to likely miss the season.
Right.
Since that start, in which he gave up 3 runs on 4 hits, Zach Greinke has had 4 awesome starts for the Astros. And in 26 innings, he's just given up 3 runs. He's given up as many runs in his last 4 starts as he did that first time. And I think if Zach Greinke were one of these guys that liked to pat himself on the back, we would be talking about how much he steps it up.
Mm-hmm.
This right here is a guy stepping it up when he needed to most. And Zach Greinke does not get the credit. But you're excited about him. I'm excited about him.
I am. I look, you can't say enough about how he's been pitching. A 0.44. I say again, 0.44 ERA in his last three starts. 1.84 in his last through five starts. That's overwhelming stuff. Here's the thing. It's not overwhelming fastball stuff. He hit 90 miles an hour twice.
It really is Greg Maddux.
Yesterday.
No, it really is. It really is Greg Maddux type stuff.
He hit 90 miles an hour twice.
Right.
He was throwing in the his
silent assassin.
That's what he was, man. His changeup was like 82 and his fastball occasionally was 86.
But this is the thing that I want to get across, John. And this is really the point I'm trying to make. It's not to say Zach Greinke can pitch. We knew that.
Yeah.
That's why he's made $250 million to do what he's done. That's why he's won the Cy Young. I'm not sitting here trying to say Zach Greinke can pitch. I'm saying Zach Greinke, when it looked like he didn't have his best stuff, is doing what he used to do when his team needs it the most. That's the point I'm trying to get across. Pitching well is not surprising. He looked lost, and he stepped it up. Just like James Harden did yesterday without Russell Westbrook, mm-hmm. just like athletes do when they need to step it up, this guy has stepped it up. And I think the fact he doesn't toot his own horn, the fact he doesn't have this hard-o attitude, he doesn't get the credit he deserves, but nobody in this city has stepped it up when they needed to the most with the absence of an all-time great like Zach Greinke.
If you are kind of a like me, I'm kind of a closet X's and O's inside the game kind of guy. We don't talk about it a lot. That tends to be boring for radio. Like, you know, what is he thinking here? What was he thinking there? You know, why did he throw that curveball right behind a slider, right in front of a fat? You know, that's all stuff that you can talk about, but it's boring. But that said, if you like that stuff, Zach Greinke might be the best player in baseball to watch. Just, you know, the cerebral way that he approaches every batter. He had him completely guessing. Brent Strom said as much afterwards. They were thinking fastball.
You think Brent Strom's wife liked that? He said his wife was excited.
His wife loved.
Yeah, she was all about that.
Just the way he, you know, like I said, the cerebral approach that he has is incredible. And then back to your point real quick. He has a pair, man. Just because he doesn't say a lot, you know what he is? He's truly a silent assassin.
Oh, no.
He is.
Oh, no.
He doesn't brag about it.
Oh, no.
He doesn't talk trash.
Oh, no.
He answers questions
you
very very deliberately.
You did it.
I did it. I went there, fool.
The silent assassin.
We've been making fun of that, having some fun with it. But what else? How else would you describe him? He's not boastful.
You're excited about him. I'm excited about him. Let's hear how excited Zach is. Zach Greinke, we know you're pumped up, baby. We know you're pumped up. Shout out to Zach Greinke and those Sam Cassell big balls. Let's hear how excited the silent assassin is after what he did yesterday.
I guess it was just locating stuff really good. The hits was a good pitch, but I felt good because all the pitches were going where they wanted that person, even though they got some hits.
You mentioned after your first or second start about you thought it would take a couple of starts to kind of get built up to where you want to be. It's just kind of what you envisioned, and you feel like you're, I guess to use a cliche, mid-season form at this point.
Zach
has been pretty good ever since after that first start. And then today I felt like my arm speed, that was the first time all year where the arm speed was starting to get better.
You feel like you're putting the ball in the right spots. You only have four walks on the season. So are you locating the ball pretty well?
No.
Really well. After the first start was pretty sloppy. Since then, I've been locating really good. That's why I've been able to have some success because stuff – it's not amazing anymore, but it's okay.
It's not amazing, but
I'm
okay.
Fired up.
Wow.
Zach's I was fired up.
Shout out to Zach Greinke. If he tooted his own horn, he'd get more props, but you're going to get props on this show. You have stepped it the F up in the absence of Justin Verlander. So we had to start off by celebrating an anniversary. We had to shout out Zach Greinke, and I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
People told me not to do this yesterday.
Don't
I was
do
talking
it.
To some people. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it.
I don't even know what it is, but don't do it.
I'm doing it.
I have no idea what it is, but don't do it.
You hear that music? You hear that music? After watching the Rockets last night, after watching what they did to the Oklahoma City Thunder, after watching the Lakers fall to the Portland Trailblazers, I am quoting Bill Goldberg, and I am asking the following question when it comes to the Houston Rockets. Who's next? Who's next? This series is over.
Boy, he's getting
the
all
Rockets are figgy. In the second round. Will they be playing the Lakers or the Blazers? That's the only question of intrigue right now for the Houston Rockets. Who's next?
Slow down, Cowboy.
Series over.
Slow down,
series
Cowboy.
Series over.
What's that?
Tennessee tune-up.
Oh, the Tennessee. Oh, remember
series
that?
Series over.
Remember that?
Who's next? That's all I want to know.
Series over.
And they don't have to get on a plane and go play in front of those Oklahoma City hillbillies. This is over. It's over. Who's next? Portland or the Lakers? Lakers might be in trouble, by the way.
They might be.
Should there be more position battles for the Houston Texans? There don't seem to be a lot. Is that a troubling thing? We'll cuss and discuss as training camp continues next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we're going to go live out to camp at 11:20. Sean Pendergast has a COVID test. I think he passed. They will be back at it again tomorrow, but we're going out there. We're also going to talk to John McClain tomorrow. Looking at this roster, looking at this Texans team, I can't remember a depth chart more set in stone than the one that the Texans currently have. There really don't appear to be a lot of position battles, which leads to the question, should there be, and is that encouraging or is that discouraging, knowing that there aren't as many position battles as there's been in the past? Because it either means that you're a really good team or it means that you just don't have a lot of depth. How am I supposed to feel as training camp continues 22 days away from the meeting against the Chiefs? How am I supposed to feel that there aren't as many position battles?
I think you should feel both ways, and let me explain. I wish there was a position battle at running back. There's not. I wish there was a position battle at tight end. There's not. I wish there was a position battle at rush end or outside linebacker. There's really not. Because that would indicate, and it tells me, that those are average to below average positions that they just don't have any options. You know, I want position battles at those places, tight end, running back, and rush end slash outside linebacker. On the other hand, I'm glad there's not a position battle at quarterback. Obviously, that's the stating the obvious. I'm glad there's not a position battle per se at receiver, because that tells you that you've got some pretty good talent there potentially, of course. And I'm sure as hell glad that there's no real position battles on the offensive line. So it's both things. You know, depending on your position group, it is a good sign that this roster is set. And it's also a very bad sign. I mean, you get my point. I wish there was a first-round draft pick or a second-round draft pick, you know, at outside linebacker. You know, I wish there was some free agent signing that had some real pelts on the wall that played tight end. You know, same thing at running back. I know David Johnson, we're not going there right now, but I wish there was a stud that could come in and push those guys, especially him.
I feel like on offense, I'm okay with it. Like on offense, I feel like it's a good depth chart. You got the best offensive line that you've had in a long time. The tight end depth is solid. I know Thomas and Waring are battling
it out. It's not top end.
It's not top end. The tight end's not top end. The running backs, I guess you feel okay about them. The receiver depth, we'll see if one of those guys can step up, but I feel good about that. But on defense, I'm somewhat discouraged that there aren't more position battles, specifically in the secondary with the cornerbacks and then on the edge. Because I like to have guys whose arrows are pointing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I always ask the question when we're talking position battles, is this guy's best football in front of him or is it behind him?
Right.
I think we know what Brennan Scarlett is. We know what Brennan Scarlett is, and he's a depth guy at this point, but he's one of your starters. So I think in an ideal world, Jacob Martin or Jonathan Grenard, they emerge as the clear-cut, better-than-Brennan-Scarlett type of players on defense. On the D-line, Charles Omenihu has the most upside to where maybe Omenihu takes that next step and you have a solid guy. But other than that, other than those guys that I just mentioned, I don't really see the arrow pointing up with the best football being ahead. You could say Zach Cunningham. I think Zach Cunningham could get even better.
Yeah.
But there aren't a lot of guys on this defense that I feel like their best football is ahead of them. I don't know what Lonnie Johnson is. I feel like we're assuming that Lonnie Johnson's going to take that next step. I think that's a dangerous assumption to make with a cornerback. But I think as far as Jacob Martin, maybe, Grenard, maybe, Zach Cunningham, yes. Justin Reed could get better. But other than that, I just feel like we know what a lot of these guys are on defense.
I completely agree with you, and I did leave out cornerback. That's another place that I wish there was some competition with proven players, maybe, you know, kind of just getting over the peak of their career and somebody behind them that can really push them, either make them better or take that spot. We pretty much know what Garyon Conley is. We're hopeful that he becomes more. Bradley Roby is good, but is he the only one at the outside corner? Lonnie Johnson, you know, got smoked a couple of times in Kansas City in the playoff game, but you know, maybe there's potential there. I left out the cornerback position, but I just feel like because they've given up the draft equity, because they didn't really go out and get the big ticket items, or the big ticket items didn't want to come here, depending on the circumstance, that there's not the competition that can really elevate. I mean, Bill O'Brien says it all the time. You know, it's all about competition. You know, everybody needs to compete. There's not a lot of competing going on. They can talk about wanting to play hard at practice, you know, and some of the young guys that may be pushing them, but there's no competition. You know the defensive roster right now, and that's where I wish there was maybe more competition.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see specifically at cornerback. You got Garyon Conley, who the Raiders basically traded for a third-round pick, and they right. basically sent a limo to take him to the Texans the same week they were playing. You don't know what Garyon Conley really is. You don't know what Lonnie Johnson is. And despite all that, the depth chart's basically set at cornerback. So I wish there was some more upside there. We'll see what happens with the front seven. But I just wish there was a little bit more competition, because typically when it's this set in stone, that means you feel really good about everything. But I just don't think that's the case here with the Texans.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
Man, I tell you, the Texans are going to benefit from stupidity. I don't understand some of these athletes, specifically Bashaud Breeland of the Kansas City Chiefs, arrested yesterday on multiple charges, including marijuana possession, was already facing a 4-game suspension in the NFL, gets pulled over yesterday, and he's facing some charges for the marijuana. Why are you rolling around with weed? Like, yeah. I'm not going to sit here and tell you to smoke. Why is a professional athlete, especially one that's facing a 4-game suspension, rolling around with weed? I don't expect him to be on the field 22 days from now when the Texans face the Chiefs, which is a break. Yeah. And that's a huge break for the Texans. It's going to help the offense. But what a total idiot. What a total idiot. There's no other way to put it. What a moron.
I mean, all you have to do is understand that bag of weed, that bit of weed that you have, is your contract. He's scheduled to make $2.3 million this year. So if you are a friend of Breland's and you are Breland, you have to look at that bag of weed or whatever it is that you're rolling around with, because there was other charges as well, by the way, and say, that right there is $2.3 million. You want to take it in your car and take that chance? You go right ahead. But what you have in your hand is your contract for the year and a lot of your future. It's just dumb, but hey, good for the Texans, man.
Good for the Texans. I mean, this is going to open things up even more. I mean, he is an important piece to the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't expect him to be on the field in 22 days. Just leave the Marahucci at the house. They've already made it to where you can pretty much smoke. Like, they've decriminalized it in the
I'm
NFL.
Faded,
there
bro.
You go. Like, in the NFL, you can smoke now, but you can't roll with it, Bashaud. Yep. Like, come on, man. But thank you. Thank you very much. It's going to be a lot easier for the Texans to move the rock on the Chiefs, because you got to think that he's not going to be on the field. We'll see, though. But what an absolute bozo. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you, 22 days away from Texans versus Chiefs. Who in town needs to step it up like Zach Greinke? Let's just go through the last few weeks of what Zach Greinke has done on the field in the absence of Justin Verlander. What athletes around town need to step it up like Greinke? Next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you.
This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, I would say that relative to the ramp up, without an off-season program, it's been, like I've said to you guys before, the ramp up for each individual player is a little bit different.
Okay, he's talking about Kahale wearing Bill O'Brien Texans training camp going on. Talking about the water polo tight end, who not sure he's going to be a part of the Texans this year, at least on the field. I could see them maybe stashing him away, but I don't see him being a part. We'll talk to Sean Pendergast.
I wonder what Sean thinks.
To the bubble at 11:20. We'll hear what he's got to say about Kahale wearing. Bashaud Breeland of the Chiefs arrested Tuesday. Multiple charges, including Marahucci possession. He was already facing a 4-game suspension for similar type stuff. So the Texans could be getting a break in 3 weeks, plus a penny, 22 days, when they face the Kansas City Chiefs. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's go to Lamont. Lamont, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Say, man, I got a couple of questions. My first question is about your breaking news. I know this is like left field right here, but when y'all break the news, I mean, and I'm not asking you guys to pull the curtain back, although I am, are y'all getting that hot? I mean, is that like right spontaneous, or are y'all sitting on it for a little bit?
Depends on the news.
Look up, see it, boom. Yeah, bada yeah. Bing, bada boom. Look up,
okay,
see it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. I like that, Dan. I was always thinking, man, and this is just me being petty. I was like, man, I really wish they can give different sounders for Houston news versus the sound of every news, but I get the logic in it. You got to stay listening to it to see what's going on. But my next question is, man, are the Texans doing third-party testing with the COVID?
I think it's an NFL-designated doctor, which I get that there are biases with doctors. I mean, look at the world we're in. Some people are saying one thing and others another. So I get that there are biases, and maybe I'm just naive, but I give surgeons and physicians a lot of credit with their Hippocratic oath. I feel like if it's a surgeon, I wouldn't risk my entire career to hide that one dude is in quarantine. I just wouldn't do that.
Okay, I'm only asking because, and I know that this is not the old days back in the 70s and the 50s with the mafia and stuff, but if there's testing out there and there's a third party handling that, is that kind of opening themselves up, not just the Texans, but the NFL in total? If people are dealing with these tests, can tests be manipulated?
Sure.
It's an interesting question.
Sure. No. Hey, who doesn't love, especially me, a good conspiracy theory? I think it's a possibility. I think it's something that could happen. Again, maybe it's me being naive. If it's someone in the building doing it, I'm much more likely to believe that there's some sort of protection or cover-up happening. When it's a surgeon, when it's a physician, I'm like, dude, would you do it? I mean, you spend, what, 10 years just to get the degree, and then however many years, you know, just become a doctor, however many years practicing, and somebody asks you, hey, can you manipulate this test so he tests positive so the Texans don't have to face Tyreek Hill? No, man, I wouldn't do that. No.
The as far as the testing, I think it's, I don't know if it's third party or not. I think it is the NFL. I know the tests are very strict. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that. Sean Pendergast is taking one right now.
They're not even practicing.
And he's a media type.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. But, I mean, the, like, concussions have been fudged by NFL teams before. So I don't know how far it would go. As far as the Breeland news, I mean, it's just, it's the fact that Breeland is facing the suspension. Now, Tom Pelissero actually tweeted that out.
And it affects the Texans.
A while ago, yeah.
You know, a lot of times, since we're pulling back the curtain, but we'll get to Grinky in just a second, Landry and I will see something that is newsy or figgy, and we'll say, should we hit the breaking news sounder? If it affects the Texans or if it's of national significance, we'll hit it. So that's your clue. You hear a breaking news sounder, we have already judged.
It's localized.
We've already judged.
It's localized or it's massive.
That it will be important to you.
It's localized or it is massive.
We should have hit it for Tom Flores making the Hall of Fame.
No, we should not have done that. That's
it was a monumental moment, but not, you go ahead and do you.
Not necessary. Not necessary. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke has stepped it up like you want every athlete to step it up when he's needed the most. Down goes Justin Verlander, the Cy Young Award winner. Zach Greinke looks lost, and suddenly now he's pitching as good as anyone in baseball. Let's just look at the time frame of how things have gone with Zach Greinke. This was Zach Greinke heading into his first start, just to get a little grasp of how Zach Greinke was feeling at the start of the season. And this is when we thought Verlander was still going to be a part of things. This is Zach Greinke heading into that first start in which he didn't even get through the fourth inning.
Zach, are you confident that you could go 90 pitches in your first start?
I don't really know. I could throw 90 pitches. I don't know if I'll be able to go 90 pitches at full level. Maybe I'll get tired and I could technically go 90 pitches, but 40 of them might be really bad. I'm guessing I'll be able to go between 75 and 100. I think I'll be able to do that, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, so that's Zach Greinke heading into the first start, and he was bad. Only lasted 3 1/3, allowed 3 runs, which is as many runs as he's allowed in his combined 4 starts since. This was Greinke after that first start, talking about when he initially felt that he would find his groove.
The first inning, my stuff felt okay, but I threw too many pitches that were hittable. Second inning felt okay. Third inning started getting tired, felt worse the fourth. So I think that's why I didn't pitch much longer than that. Not too happy with anything. Yeah, command wasn't great. Stuff wasn't great. Endurance wasn't even good at all. After seeing today, I wouldn't expect it to be great next outing. Hopefully the outing after that or the next outing after that, I would hope to be close to where I'm happy with where I'm at.
Here's the thing with Zach Greinke and his words there. He was 100% correct and 100% honest. I say it all the time. All I want, all we want is for our sports figures to be honest when they're asked a question. He was. And all of a sudden it's like, well, no, I could, you know, 40 of those pitches would have been bad. I would expect after the next start, I'll be good. He was right, and he was right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And that's how he felt. I think that's how he felt. But a lot of times you dig deep within yourself and you step it up when your team needs you. And that's what Zach Greinke has done. Here was Zach Greinke, more from him after that rough start. What to expect from him moving forward and why things were the way they were.
I think it's reps. I mean, maybe it's I'm getting older, but I feel pretty healthy, feel pretty strong. So, I'm just going to keep doing the work, and I'm highly confident that in a couple outings, it'll be sharp again. Not going to say is best pitcher in baseball, but I would hope I could be close to or the same as last year.
Well, you're pretty close to the best pitcher in baseball right now, too. There's no question about that.
The Astros have 3 starters with below 2 ERAs.
Mm-hmm.
Bielak, Framber Valdez, and Zach Greinke. For all the talk about the arms and all the talk about, you know, the Astros and how young they are and how concerned people are about pitching, 3 of their 5 starters have ERAs below 2.
Yeah, that's why they are where they are, 6 straight, working on 7 straight. And their offense still has issues. I mean, they're still not exactly crushing the ball by any stretch. They're winning with pitching, and that's how you win long term.
Who needs to step it up in town in a Zach Greinke manner? In that you're missing one of the best players ever, mm-hmm. one of the best pitchers of all time, in Justin Verlander. Zach Greinke steps it up. Who in town needs to step it up that way? I would say James Harden without Russell Westbrook, but let's be honest, series is over. Like, Oklahoma City sucks. I'm moving on, them on. They suck. They've overachieved. You can mark that. That's an overachieving basketball team.
Eric Gordon, which he did.
21 points last night.
Eric Gordon is going to be my guy for the Rockets that needs to step it up and actually has, at least in game one. And it's almost apples to apples. You know, Verlander goes down, Westbrook goes down. Greinke needs to step up, and did, and so does McCullers, and did. Not to mention, as you said, Bielak and Framber, but Eric Gordon, which people don't really, you know, think of this immediately. He was the 3rd leading scorer on the team. He just missed a lot of games because he was injured. So he has stepped up.
21 points last night. That series is over.
Now, Texans.
It's done. as far as the Texans, who could step up like Greinke has
to be that level?
I think it's got to be Will Fuller.
Will Fuller.
Will 100%. Fuller has to replace DeAndre Hopkins.
One hundo.
One of the best to do it in mm-hmm. Houston. I think Will Fuller is that guy. If Will Fuller can elevate his game and fill the void left by DeAndre Hopkins, I think it would be Greinke-like. I think on the defensive side of the rock, I think Whitney Mercilus has to step it up. I think Whitney Mercilus has to be what he was the first five games of last year. And he has to provide the Texans with another quality pass rusher on the opposite end of J.J. Watt. You can't just disappear. Even if J.J. is unhealthy, Whitney Mercilus can't just fall off a cliff like he did last year. That ain't going to cut it.
No.
You got to justify your money, too. Mm-hmm. Last year, Whitney was playing for money, playing for that contract. He's got it. He's got to justify it.
Whitney's the other one, and we talked about this yesterday. With J.J. expectedly, you know, getting all the attention and so many, you know, unproven guys that are going to be rushing and pressuring the quarterback.
All-world defensive lineman J.J. Watt
is going to get a lot of attention. So we need Whitney Mercilus to go on big time. I have 3 points on Greinke that I want to bounce off of you.
Okay.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, bounce them off.
You know when I knew Greinke, as you said, had those Sam Cassell.
Big balls.
Big boys. Well, you know I know how I when I realized that he had them? When he started calling the signs to the catcher.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, anybody else does that, and you're like, oh, look at how cocky he is, and what a jerk, and unwritten rules might even be mentioned, like they were with Tatis Jr. But Greinke, because everybody knows he's just kind of a different kind of nut, they're like, oh, how cute. Look how neat that is. But that's basically showing how much of a badass you think you are. It's just because it's Greinke. Nobody ever put it there. My second point on Greinke, and this is kind of along the lines of the whole conspiracy theory thing, isn't it possible, if not probable, that he's better because there are no fans and he can sit in the stands and he can distance himself from teammates? That he's better? That's his happy place.
No media lurking around in the locker
room.
No
fans.
No fans.
No autographs.
No autographs.
Which he's compelled to do.
Which he does.
And does, but doesn't like it. Doesn't have to sit shoulder to shoulder with guys forcing conversation in the dugout. He can go sit with cardboard cutouts. I think he's better because of the
So you think
pandemic.
That COVID actually helps him?
Helps him.
But I also think he does have the big balls.
Oh, for sure. I'm sorry, I got 3 points. Big balls was first. That's number two. And my third point, I think he's pretty dang, not cocky, but he's on the verge of cocky.
He should be.
Even in his words, I think it's all about the delivery. Let's replay and start and stop. I was thinking about this just in the last break. His the big chunk we played
after
from,
yesterday's
from last
start.
Night.
Yeah, after last night's start.
And then I'm going to play it in his delivery, and then maybe in a cocky guy's delivery. I'll
okay.
Say
okay.
It. Ready?
I guess it was just locating stuff really good. The hits was a good pitch, but I felt good because I was. All the pitches were going where they wanted that person even.
I was just locating pitches really good. The hits, they were good pitches. I was just locating pitches really good.
Even though they got some hits.
You mentioned after your first or second start about you thought it would take a couple of starts to kind of get built up to where you want to be. It's just kind of what you envisioned, and you feel like you're, I guess to use a cliche, mid-season form at this point?
My endurance has been pretty good ever since after that first start. And then today I felt like my arm speed, that was the first time all year where the arm speed was starting to get better.
My endurance has been great the last couple of starts. And my arm speed today, I really felt like it was the first time I really felt like I had great arm speed.
You feel like you're putting the ball in the right spots. You only have 4 walks on the season. So are you locating the ball pretty well?
Really well. After the first start, was pretty sloppy. Since then, been locating really good. That's
really well. Really well. After the first start, I was pretty sloppy. But since then, I've been locating the ball really well.
Well, I've been able to have some success because stuff hasn't been, I mean, it's not amazing anymore, but it's okay.
Stuff has been really good. It's
okay.
Not amazing
it's
anymore,
okay.
But it's okay.
That's all he had to say.
I'm telling you.
The end.
Because of how he says things, people don't understand. He's talking trash, man. He's talking noise. He's showing you his confidence.
I don't know what the shelf life is for this rotation. I do know that the Astros are now 2.5 games up on the Texas Rangers for second place. And I'm not even looking at first place. Mm-hmm. If that shapes up to where they're in the division race, more power to them. But really, in this format, all you have to do is finish second place or be one of those two wild card teams, and you get in the 2 out of 3 series. So I don't know what the shelf life is. But I do know this when it comes to the Astros. They're pitching their asses off. I mean, they got 3 guys with below 2 ERAs. And the other thing, and this is something that I think we need to look at. I was talking yesterday on the postgame show, and we're going to have that again today at 7:40, about all the guys that are out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Peacock's trying to work his way back. Devinsky's trying to work his way back. Justin Verlander threw on flat ground yesterday. Wouldn't read too much into that unless he starts throwing long toss and then bullpens and stuff like that. But with Yordan Alvarez and Michael Brantley out of the lineup, a lot of times you say, well, just wait till this team gets fully healthy and the sky's the limit, because mm-hmm. you're missing the rookie of the year, you're missing an all-star in Michael Brantley, two very, very good hitters. The problem with that is, and Adam Spillane talked about this on sportsradio610.com, the problem with that is that you have to hope that Michael Brantley's going to be able to play left field.
Yes.
Because if Michael Brantley comes back and that knee is still tight, then you can't DH both him and Yordan Alvarez if Alvarez is coming back.
Right.
So you're going to need, you might have to err on the side of caution with Michael Brantley and maybe put him on the DL back-to-back times, because mm-hmm. you're going to need him to be able to play outfield. So if he has to miss 20 games or whatever, you got to err on the side of caution, because there's no chance in hell that if Yordan comes back, he's going to be out there in the field. So if you get both of those guys back and neither one of them's able to play the field, really all you got is one of the best pinch hitters in baseball that's not getting the 4 or 5 at-bats every night. That's something you got to watch here when it comes to getting these guys back. You got to be very, very careful with Michael Brantley, because he's going to have to play outfield, or else you're really not getting the two bats back like it looks like from the outside looking in.
Yeah, and the other part of that is, as much as Greinke is just, you know, balling out right now, McCullers is doing his deal. Some of these others, you can't count night in, night out, as much as we like to what we're seeing. You know, whether it's Bielak or Framber, you can't count on that. They're going to get touched up. They will get touched up. So you're going to have to need, you're going to need that offense big time.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. We're going to go live to the bubble. Sean Pendergast getting his COVID test as we speak. We're going to go in depth on the Texans position battles. I can't believe I'm about to ask the question that I'm about to ask. There's a lot of bad contracts in town. Eric Murray comes to mind. A lot of people think Whitney Merciless has a bad contract. However, does Jose Altuve currently have the worst contract in the entire city? If you could have a do-over, would you not give Jose Altuve the current contract he has? Can't believe I'm doing this. I'm going to hell on scholarship, but to hell with it. Next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.